Good morning, everyone.
Your voice.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there.
Really? You don't think I have an annoying, high-pitched voice?
How come no one ever told me that I sounded like that?
You ever think about doing radio?
Do I have a weird voice?
I find your voice quite melodious.
What a gorgeous way to wake up.
I could listen to you talk all day.
Okay, well, let's get started.
Showtime.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 922, here on a rainy Friday morning. Not very pleasant out there, and looks like that's going to be the story for most of the day today. Thinking about everybody right now that's still waiting for their power to come back. Hopefully today will be the day. Ottawa Hydro saying the majority of people should be hooked up at some point today. Still some pockets out for the weekend, but the rain does not add to what overall has been a very frustrating last 5 or 6 days for everybody. So we hope everybody gets some answers by the end of the day, and if not, by the weekend. Okay, well, we can tell you on a more positive note, we're going to have CFL football this year. And 24 hours ago at this time, I could not have told you that. Certainly things were very much in question, but throughout the day yesterday, the story started to evolve to the point where the CFL Players Association felt comfortable enough that it recommended the rework deal to its players, put it to a vote last night, and the players have now agreed to the new 7-year CBA. It still has to be approved by the CFL's Board of Governors, but one would think, as the group that put forward the proposal in the first place and did say, oh, by the way, you've got a midnight deadline to approve of this, otherwise, who knows what's going to happen, that will happen in short order as well. And for Ottawa football fans, it means one thing. There's a football game tonight at TD Place, believe it or not, as the Red Blacks will take on the Toronto Argonauts.
And I bet our next guest was the player rep. I'm feeling it all the way.
Well, you know what? I'm really interested in getting the perspective of our own Jeff Avery, of course, longtime CFL player with the Ottawa Rough Riders, Grey Cup champion, and now our longtime Red Blacks color analyst. Be back in the chair alongside A.J. Jakubek for another season of Red Blacks football starting tonight. Jeff, it is so good to talk to you. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
Very well, JR, and yourself?
Excellent. Thank you. Say hi to Simmer.
Good morning, Simmer.
Morning, Jeffrey.
All right, Jeff, listen, before we get into the nuts and bolts, and 85 players on the depth chart tonight for Ottawa, is that right?
I couldn't count. There's just so many names crowded into such a small space here.
good luck prepping for that. But before we get to all of that, I wanted to ask you, as you were, I'm sure, a very interested observer as to how this was all going to turn out, as someone who is a Canadian player in the Canadian Football League throughout the late 1970s and then has watched and commentated on the league since then, what were your whole feelings on, you know, the league proposal where they're looking like they're going to roll back the, you know, the number of, full-time Canadian starters and, you know, the naturalized Americans were going to be counted as Canadian? What was your feeling on that as a Canadian football player?
Well, from a purely selfish point of view, from the individual's look at it, you know, myself, I could see easily why I would vote no. I mean, you know, you're taking time away from Canadian starters. You're limiting their ability to earn bonuses, earn increases in contracts, blah, blah, blah. But again, you have to look at the whole picture. And I can understand from the perspective of the teams and the people paying the bills, where, you know, your dollars being spent are probably not, you know, they probably don't equate to what you're seeing on the field. So to be able to move some American players into these, some American players that will stay with one team or stay in the league for an extended period of time into this naturalized category, you know, it certainly has the potential to help A, the product on the field, and help, and B, the bottom line for dollars being spent. So, I mean, I get both sides. I understand covering the league for so long, there's American players that are, you know, grossly underpaid for the value that they bring to the field. And you have Canadian players that, you know, that we've seen in backup roles that are getting exorbitant amounts of money that are truly, in some individual cases, just a waste of dollars. So trying to balance that out, it's difficult from the player's perspective, as I said, from a really purely selfish point of view, from being one of the Canadian players who had that starter's role, having that limited, but understanding the overall picture, you know, it makes sense. And honestly, JR, I think the Players Association did a great job this year. I think they've gotten more in this one CBA than they've gotten at any particular time in my memory anyway. The extended health benefits, the ability to increase the minimum salaries, the salary cap increase, the look into the books to be able to revenue share should profits increase, you know, lots of good things that were achieved through this negotiation.
Jeff, if I look at it, and just based on the number of players, are there more Canadians than Americans? And I guess I say that from a voting standpoint. I'm surprised that the vote was not able to be swayed by the American side. What is the percentage?
Well, you have a pretty even split, actually.
Okay.
Simmer, you know, it's pretty much down the middle. But and I understand that, you know, there are other reasons why American players would vote no, and there are reasons why Canadian players would vote yes, each individual. So I think it's easy from the outside looking in to say that this is probably the contentious issue, the restriction or the reduction of the Canadian starters or the playing time with the 49% rule. Yeah, but, you know, there's many reasons why people will vote the way they vote.
Mm. To your point of that the money in terms of the star power or, you know, the better players is maybe not allocated correctly. If that were to change, and it won't, but let's say it were for the sake of this discussion, how would it impact? Do you think that the American-born player coming up here and starting to carve out a bit of a career would be more receptive to remaining here in Canada, or is there always going to be an eye, especially among those guys, to of the bright lights and big money of the National Football League?
I think the latter. I think every American, you know, athlete who plays the game of football dreams of the NFL, and I don't think there's any question when you look at the simple economics of it, when you look at the dollar values being made in the NFL, and even as a minimum salaried player in the NFL, that's where they want to be. Now, they certainly come to this crossroads for a variety of different reasons. Perhaps they look at it as, I need to keep playing in a competitive environment to perhaps get myself that other opportunity. The CFL provides that. Or maybe I'm looking to change my career path and I want to be somewhere where I can play on a consistent basis and earn some sort of a living. So, you know, a variety of reasons. But I think, yeah, bottom line, you're always looking to the bright lights and the big dollars of the NFL as an American player.
Excited about the Red Blacks, Jeff, to get going, all the fresh and new with the new general manager, new quarterback, and new players?
Absolutely, Simmer. I mean, it's just the work that has been done during this offseason by Sean Burke, Paul Appelese, and both their staffs as they work together to get the number of free agents that they've gotten on this team, the makeover they've done with the offense, the sprinkling of new players on the defense. It's just something that I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how it develops, because it's like making any recipe. You've got all these ingredients going in. Now you got to get them all to fit together and work together. And that's going to be a big task, especially when you look at the offense, because outside of two starters from last year, this is brand new. So it's going to be interesting and fun to watch.
Jeff Avery is our guest, our Red Blacks analyst. They'll open up the preseason tonight, hosting the Argos at TD Place at 7:30. Is Jeff Avery a believer in Jeremiah Masoli?
I am. I've always, he's played very well against us. Now he's not certain types of players we've seen go through here. He's not perhaps that type of quarterback when you look at the ability to throw the quick ball, the short passing game of a Trevor Harris, or the ability of Henry Burris's ability to keep a play alive and throw get the ball to places where you didn't think he could get it. Just great leadership, but he's got a little bit of all that. I think he's just a unique mix that makes him just a tremendous CFL player, a tremendous CFL quarterback. And you know, when you look at last year's stats, he was number two in passing efficiency in the league. Now, obviously, he didn't start every game, but he started enough, and you're talking about a quarterback that only trailed Zach Kolaris in passing efficiency. He does so many things well. He moves very well. You know, the true CFL quarterback being able to get himself out of trouble, buys time, which I think he does a great job with his head. And he also has the ability to use his feet to get that yardage needed, get the first down. So, and throw on top of it, I think the guy's just a great leader. You know, he's a guy that's willing to work with people, and we've seen quarterbacks here in the past that are not that fond of helping the guys behind them. But he's not that guy. He's so many good things that, I wish him all the best. And, of course, from a selfish point of view, again, he's wearing red and black, so we want him to do well in the field.
Do you feel like there's enough weapons around him, Jeff, or is that kind of a wait and see as camp evolves?
Well, it is a wait and see, but I think how can you not say he's got better weapons around him than he would have had he been here last year. they have brought in players, players that maybe not are at the peak of their careers, the players that have tremendous ability and still, I think, have lots to give. A few guys left over from last year that I think are great athletes and can do a good job. So it's a nice mix, but again, it's a recipe you got to put together. And, you know, fortunately, he's got a guy like Ackland that he's played with last year, so he's got a comfort level there. So there's some comfort right off the get-go, and as he learns to work with RJ Harris, Ryan Davis, Shaq Johnson, you know, the other guys, BJ Cunningham from Montreal, and Darvin Adams in from Winnipeg. So lots of talented guys, but obviously he needs time with everybody to work together to get on the same page, and that's a growing experience between quarterback and receiver. Doesn't happen overnight.
Special teams last year was elite, no longer a Devontae Dedmon, which just as a football fan from an excitement point of view is disappointing, but you understand, you know, he's got a great opportunity coming up in the National Football League. Defense last year, Jeff, I thought was good. Offense obviously stunk, and we'll see, you just went through a lot of the names that they hope will revive. Just based on what they brought back on defense, do you think Ottawa's defense can either maintain where they were or be even better this coming season?
Well, I think they can maintain where they were. I would have said I think they have the opportunity to even be better had they not had that terrible injury to Boateng. I thought him on the edge, you know, again from that national position, was going to add something to the defense and be able to play with the ratio. But you know, outside of him not being there, they brought in some upgrades that they're hoping we're going to see in the secondary. I mean, we now have a guy on the corner who was a CFL All-Star last year in Hunter. So you've got another guy that's sort of in a backup position that was tied for the league in interceptions last year in Tremaine Washington. So there's more talent here to provide the depth and to see who they decide who's going to be their starters when it comes to game day, when it counts. But I think they've upgraded in spots, and they did a good job last year. And so I don't see any problem with Benavides continuing to get this defense to play very well. And, you know, special teams, again, they've brought players in to add to that special teams group, guys that have played special teams well for other teams. So that part of the game should be improved. And who knows? I don't think you ever can replace a Devontae Dedmon. But we'll see what we have out of the four that they're going to look at during exhibition season: Ryan Davis, Terry Williams, Devontae Williams, and Justin Hardy. But we'll see. We need one of those guys to step up and be the man.
With loss and then retirement, I guess, right before the season, the O-line just seemed like it was doomed, Jeff, from day one. Do you feel like that crew is going to be a little more, bring some more stability?
Doomed is an accurate description there, Sam. Yes. Well, yeah, you know, they have brought in some veterans guys, you know, and you got a guy that's been in the league seven years. So what a change from last year, where we had, I think it was 11 offensive linemen start their first game ever in the CFL for this team. And we had through every game last year where we never had the same five starters. So they've got guys with experience, guys that look like, I think, you know, Ruby, before he had his issues out in Edmonton, was a pretty good solid player for them. We've got him at right guard, so a seven-year veteran. Siracco is an excellent center from Hamilton. Hunter Stewart from BC, big guy. We'll see. I'm not 100% sold on him, but he certainly is a space filler and has the experience. And we'll see how they work out the tackles. That's always the problem, Simmer, when you talk about O-line. You know, you've got to take care of all these great rush ends in this league. And so we'll see what Williams can do at left tackle, and they're still looking to who's going to be that right tackle. But as a group, it's like dance partners in the offensive line. You've got to get used to each other. You got to understand when you see different fronts in front of you and how those guys move after the snap of the ball, how you react as a group, not necessarily one-on-one. One-on-one makes a big difference, certainly, but as a group, you have to deal with as a team. So that's an area that I think, yes, to answer your question, they've upgraded. It's an area that we're going to have to see as time progresses during the early part of the season, how well they play together.
Last one for you, just as you assess the moves in the offseason, and again, we'll see how it plays itself out amongst all of the teams in the East, and injuries play a huge role in football. But, you know, how do you stack up the Eastern Division this year, top to bottom, as you look at it right now?
Yeah, well, good luck with that. You know, I'm still not sure about Toronto. You know, Bethel Thompson is up and down. He plays well against us, which is unfortunate. Montreal, again, they've had a lot of changes take place in their camp. You know, I like to think that they were going to be probably a leader when I looked at the offseason starting, but I don't think so now either. And, you know, Hamilton, I think, is probably the most solid of the four Eastern clubs. So, I'd probably look at Hamilton as number one, and then the next three as a crapshoot to see how they develop during the season, because there's so much change during this offseason on all teams, obviously most here in Ottawa, but on all teams. There's a lot of personnel changes.
Jeff Avery will spend the entire day today memorizing the names of all 85 players who will take the field for the Ottawa Redblacks tonight. He'll have insight into each and every one of them on tonight's broadcast alongside A.J. Jakubek. He's laughing because he knows it's not true, but it should be great. Good to have you back in the booth, Jeff, for another season. We really appreciate the time this morning, and enjoy the game tonight.
Good to talk to you both. Thanks very much.
All right, there's Jeff Avery, our Red Blacks color analyst here on TSN 1200. He and A.J. will have the call tonight. 7:30 kickoff from TD Place, and our pregame show with Lever Sage alongside Duke Ellington will begin at 6 p.m. Great to have football back again. 9:37, we'll take a break. Still to come before 10 o'clock, your chance to win tickets to see some baseball coming up. Tickets for Sunday afternoon's game with the Titans and the Gateway Grizzlies. Still to come before 10 o'clock. As we continue along here on a Friday morning, you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 9:45 on this Friday morning. Red Blacks and Argos coming up tonight at 7:30 here on TSN 1200. You can check out the game as well. Hopefully, maybe the weather will start to cooperate as the day goes on. We'll keep our eye on that forecast. By the way, we should mention, talking earlier this morning about how it came up, Simmer, you were asked about numbers that were retired or available, and we immediately went to Henry Burris's number one, which was retired when Hank left the team, but has now been unretired by the team, at least for the short term, because team announced a couple of days ago that Darvin Adams is one of the new big name receivers they brought in from Winnipeg in the offseason. His number in Winnipeg was number one. I guess they united he and Darvin on the phone. They put the link on the Red Blacks website. And Henry Burris has said, you can have my number one. So there will be a number one suiting up for the Red Blacks this coming season.
Kind of weird. And I wonder if the Sens next year will have an 11 and a 4. On a phone call, do you pull the number down
an eight?
Now? Yeah. I mean, now you're getting into Toronto Maple Leafs territory, right, where you have a lot of
honored
numbers. Which I can, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm feeling this one. I don't think you should be able to do this. So I want to find out who the hell's in charge, right?
Well, if Hank is good with it, I guess we should be, you know, if you're just a fan of the team, then, you know, if it's the actual, it wasn't like the team made the decision, right? It was he himself that, well, I'm sure he was asked. It wasn't like he volunteered. So anyway, we'll see a number one playing for the Red Blacks this coming season.
I think you're going to have to be on top of your game, JR. So you're going to have to really have proper eyewear, maybe even an opportunity pregame to go down and just kind of go through. Maybe even a handshake so you get to know the guys just a bit. And then all of a sudden, because I'm feeling a multi-number situation. Now, what I'm also very fearful of, JR, I'm not sure they're going to put all 85 names on the back of the jerseys. So,
I don't worry about the names. I'm only looking at the numbers.
Yeah, but I do. I'm sure
as the spotter at tonight.
I'm sure
game.
We're having multiple numbers of the same players.
That's not good.
No, that's not good. No,
you know, that's where things like, who's rocking the dreads, who's got the good flow, whose hair you can't see. Because really, that's the only way to differentiate
that's
if you've got two
that's
guys
true.
Wearing the same number.
Yeah.
All right, 9:47. So 6 o'clock will be our pregame. 7:30 will be the kickoff tonight for the Red Blacks and the Argos. We got the Titans tickets to give away.
Mm-hmm.
You got a final? You know what? I'll come up with something before 10 o'clock. We'll do one final question.
Okay.
Grizzlies related.
Yeah.
To give away the baseball tickets.
Grizzlies.
Why don't
related.
We do something? What Quebec League franchise? What city they play out of that are named the Titans? Would that be anything good?
What's that? I see.
Yeah.
For Ottawa's team, because I was working on that. Yeah, absolutely. That's a lay down question, and that's a good one for a Friday. I like that.
Okay.
All right. So, and here's how we'll nuance it a little bit, because you said what town, all right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So town, actual town does the Titan team in the queue play out of? We need name of town and province.
Yeah.
5 minutes, you got. Text it to us at 12-1200, standard messaging rates apply.
And among all the correct answers, pretty easy.
Plus a good local fella coach in the club.
Exactly. Right? And did you know that is the of the 60-odd teams in the Canadian Hockey League, that is actually the smallest market in the entire CHL, believe it or not.
Well, I knew it would be darn close, right? Are we talking like a max of like 20,000 people?
We can talk about it when we get the we give out the answer, and we can research it.
And I remember one of my original Memorial Cup visits to Quebec. It was just a gong show watching the Morissette brothers who owned the team and trying to fight the referees.
Oh, dear.
I think if you thought of an all-time coaching staff, I think it was Bob Hartley, assisted by Michelle Terry, and neither of them liked fighting. Just a different time and place.
Okay, so here's what we need. We need the name of the town and the province, your first and last name at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. The Titan of the queue. What town and province do they play out of? All the correct answers will draw one name. They will go see the Titan, or the Titans, as they're known, baseball team, play on Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock first pitch at Ottawa Stadium, as the Titans are home all weekend long, including a game tonight. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you is this one. Do you believe the Oilers, last Canadian team standing, are good enough to win the Stanley Cup? Do you believe the Oilers are good enough to win the Stanley Cup? Yes or no? Zimmer.
No.
Okay. You want to give maybe just a
well,
reason?
Well, no, okay. But I know. I don't think between Colorado. I don't even know if they beat St. Louis, but I'm going to say it's Colorado right now. I don't think they can overcome that. And when I look at the Rangers to Tampa Bay, to Carolina, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. Now, if it went Rangers and St. Louis, does that open things up a little bit, JR? Possibly. But as it sits today, I'm going Carolina, Tampa, and I'm going Edmonton versus Colorado. So if that switches another direction, then hey, I guess if they played St. Louis and then they played the Rangers in the final. But as it sits right now, I'm going to say no. What about you?
Hammer?
I am a no. I have zero trust in Mike Smith. We've seen enough little gaffes in this playoff. And yes, the Oilers and Connor McDavid have been good to get past some of those gaffes. Mm-hmm. But as you go deeper into the playoffs, those mistakes become bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think Mike Smith is the bit of he's the speed bump for the Edmonton Oilers. So I don't think they're a legitimate Stanley Cup contender right now.
Okay. Do I think they're going to win? I don't. Do I think they can win? Yes. So I'll answer yes to this question. I just think that, Connor McDavid is just playing at a crazy level that I don't know that anybody – I think the only guy in the league that can get to a I shouldn't say that. Nathan MacKinnon can probably get to that level, although hasn't as consistently as Connor McDavid has in this playoff. Mm-hmm. But in terms of if they were to ever meet in the playoffs, would have the ability to mitigate a Connor McDavid, I think Victor Hedman potentially could. Mm-hmm. And so if Edmonton ever met Tampa in the final, then that's a matchup that would actually be awesome to watch to see if Hedman can neutralize McDavid. Yeah. So could they win? Yeah. Do you believe the Oilers are good enough to win? Yeah. I think they can win. Anything is possible.
Well, yeah.
They're not my favorite, but I think they could win.
You're to the final four, JR. So I agree. Now, here's from a matchup standpoint. This will be something really interesting because I do believe that Cale Makar and Byram and some of those players on Colorado are actually built. Because I think at the end of the day with Connor McDavid, the size is nice, but having actual mobile defenders, I'm curious to see that matchup, JR, because going large like Zadorov and Gabranson, it just doesn't work, you know what I mean? Where Hedman is the rare dog, right, where he's a big guy that can skate. I think that should be I'm really interested to see how they handle him, because to me, I almost, when Shabbat was matched up against him, that was kind of the perfect thing for Shabbat, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of the few guys that could actually skate with him, and you didn't have to worry necessarily about the size if you can skate with him.
So Edmonton wins last night in overtime, 5-4. Connor McDavid ends up getting the game-winning goal, so the Flames have been eliminated, and Edmonton is the last Canadian team standing. I think we ask this every time. If we get down to whatever round it might be and there's one Canadian team left, are you actively, just as a hockey fan, not as an analyst guy, just as a hockey fan, Simmer, are you one of those people that's on the, I'd love to see a Canadian team win? So that is an important thing for me.
Couldn't even care less. Like, I don't even understand the rationale.
You're a bad guy to ask, because you don't necessarily have a favorite team other than the Washington Capitals, who you used to work for a long time and got drafted by, and understandable that you would have a soft spot for them. Washington aside, you know, I don't even remember what that was a long.
Well,
one.
Who am I cheering? Like,
I
don't. They're okay. So I'm not cheering against the Rangers. Cheering against Carolina, Tampa.
Oh, that was my question. Are you cheering? Yeah, if you're a fan of a Canadian team, and we're talking mostly the Sens fans, but there's Leafs fans and Habs fans listening, and there's Flames fans, Canucks fans, Jets fans as well. Do you cheer against a Canadian team?
No, not at all. I enjoyed Montreal last year. Who doesn't love Connor McDavid? I love the Edmonton fan base, JR, and the passion, same as the year Calgary had. Trying to think of kind of teams that I don't like. I'll go into some individuals.
Is there any team left right now that you don't like?
No, not at all. Okay. And I'd be so appreciative if Joe Sakic could do it. I don't even mind a return for St. Louis. Tampa Bay's getting a bit old, but I don't dislike it. And I'd be thrilled for Rod Brindamore, and I'd actually be thrilled for the New York Rangers. Like, I just so appreciative, JR, of how darn hard it is that I would not be upset or begrudge anybody. I'd just be, hey, good for you. You know how darn difficult it is now to do in a 32-team league.
I understand what you said about Tampa. You know, it's kind of a been there, done that as a hockey fan. Part of me as a hockey fan, though, is a little bit intrigued by the idea of a team winning three in a row. You know, like the last team
in the salary cap era.
Last team, you know, we had Pittsburgh obviously a few years ago win two in a row. Before that, it was 20 years ago back to Detroit, and you know, and obviously the Islanders are the last one that's won more than two in a row, and we're now going back 40 years, believe it or not. So part of me is intrigued to see whether a team, especially with how hockey has changed and with the salary cap and the explosion of salaries for especially the top star players, whether a team has the ability to keep their team together and win, in this case, three Stanley Cups in a row.
Yeah, and the internal motivation, JR, for guys that have all been paid. There are no bonuses. There's nobody on the verge of a big contract that I know of. You got a great life. The fact that you were that motivated as a group, like when Stamkos talked to Corey Perry, I was going to say Tyler Perry, Corey Perry, and said, listen, we're not finished. I'm so impressed by that because I think people would be a little surprised at, first of all, how many guys, and rightfully so, my first job is to make the NHL, take care of my family, but, you know, a lot of guys in the league couldn't care less if they ever win a cup. Then you get a group and are certainly more than satisfied if they win one. To have that group and all the luxury and the way they're treated, where they live, there's no internal pressure to deliver. So to me, that's very, very impressive for a modern-day athlete.
Interesting. I was reading Joe Smith covers the Lightning for The Athletic. I think he's one of the better guys to cover kind of on a team basis. He writes some really interesting stories. And one of the things he wrote yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, how impressive Nick Paul has been in the eyes of the coach. Like John Cooper was talking about, when he came to the team, you know, I kind of knew about him, and I had some ideas of how I was going to use him. And now it's to the point where Nick Paul, I believe only Nikita Kucherov, plays more 5-on-5 minutes for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah. Like that's, and he is number one penalty killer over the boards now. He has, with the injury to Braden Point, he's taken on the role as a center iceman and has kind of moved, in between the second and third lines. Like, and now it's reached the point of, first of all, we all know that he's made himself even more money than what he couldn't come to an agreement with the Ottawa Senators at. But to the point where Joe writes that, you know, he thinks that Tampa will make a hard run at re-signing him, to the point where they may, and Andre Palat is a UFA at the end of this year as well, that it may come down to a decision of Palat versus Paul for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Andre Palat has been just a key player on that team, and it may come down to a choice. And he made the point that maybe it ends up being Paul and not Palat.
Yeah, and it is neat, JR, because there are times, and people would think otherwise, but you go by scouts, and as a coach, you watch a guy, but you really don't know, right? And they could also be like, well, gosh, we're taking Matthew Joseph off our team. We've won two cups. Then you come in, and to me, he's kind of turned into what Connor Brown is here in Ottawa, right, where, you know, the coach trusts him the most. He understands what he's capable of doing. He's gotten more and more confident, and not to mention the size and the matchup and everything else goes with it. So I agree, and that's it's just been a nice story, and I didn't think that him mentally, Nick Paul, would be able to handle this year, because I thought when he first went and under the pressure here and wasn't performing well, but he's found a real sweet spot here in the playoffs and has really just kind of gone next level.
Can you imagine the confidence level of Nick Paul, how much that would have risen after his Game 7 performance versus the Leafs? Like, to me, I would think just in the interactions we've had with Nick Paul and the interviews we've heard from him in Ottawa, I would never say that he struck me as the most confident guy in the world, right?
No.
Competent, nice guy, tremendous character.
Yeah.
No questions there whatsoever. Yeah. But never would have struck me as the most confident guy in the world.
No.
And I got to think right now he is just sky high.
Yeah.
The inner belief in him would be at a level off the charts compared to where he was here.
Yeah, and it is a neat thing, Jared, and I don't care what walk of life. I think, you know, inherently there's people that are in sports incredibly talented but also incredibly confident. But, my gosh, even the most talented guys are not confident. So for Nick Paul, for everything you've gone through, you're kind of like, and this is a support group around you, more times than not, in the back of your mind, you're thinking you can't do it. I mean, that's the way it is. Then you do arrive at that spot, and then you say, yeah, I can, you know, and that's what makes sports and the story of Nick Paul so great is that, hey, wow, you know, this is really cool. I've come to a really good team now. I did it at the World Championships last year, but who cares? Now I'm doing it in the middle of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and what I've also done, I brought something fresh and new to the team, you know, like, and for Corey Perry, same thing, JR. Like, it's really like, wow, this is what you need is a little bit of something fresh. Guys that are hungry. Perry really wasn't a major, major part of that Anaheim team, right?
And it was 15 years ago.
Oh, exactly.
That's
ago. I'd like to contribute and to him hang around. And how excited the guys would be for Nick Paul to win a Stanley Cup. That's what gets the rest of that group excited. And then the other part that you just can't, like, I remember that classic story about the Islanders beating Edmonton for the last time, right? And they went by their dressing room.
The ice bags.
They weren't celebrating. They're just there. The fact that they're putting it on the line the way they do, like, man, like that to me, you know, a lot of players won't do that anytime. Like Chernik with his back taking slap shots, Stamkos out there not doing the flamingo, actually trying to block a shot. It really is impressive what they've done there as an organization from ownership all the way down.
Joe, the Leafs fan, texts in and said, I just wanted to say that the Ottawa Senators are my 32nd favorite team. The Montreal Canadiens are my 31st favorite team. And other than that, I wouldn't cheer against any other team. Oh, except maybe Boston. That's from Joe, the Leafs fan.
Yeah, I understand that, Joe.
There we go. Yeah. All right. With that, we'll put a wrap on the show, but not before we announce our final winner of a set of tickets to see the Ottawa Titans baseball team take on the Gateway Grizzlies Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock at Ottawa Stadium. Our question from Simmer was, where do the Titans of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, what town and province do they call home? And Hammer, our winner is?
Jeff Kaya with the correct answer of Bathurst, New Brunswick.
Correct. Nice job, Jeff. Way to go. And I believe that I read that, because there's some small towns like Swift Current, Saskatchewan as well.
Yeah.
I believe I'm correct in saying that Bathurst, New Brunswick, and Owen Sound, Ontario are the two smallest cities or towns that host Canadian Hockey League franchises.
Well, and having gone to a game up there, JR, it's basically Miramichi, right? The region.
Correct.
There's not even really, you know, it's a tiny, tiny little place. And they moved from Laval way back in the day. And, great to see them having success in the playoffs.
Population, according to Wikipedia, in 2016 of Bathurst was 11,897. Of course, you know who will be at a lot of their games is Trent Mann, the Chiefs head chief head scout, right?
Yeah,
Hamilton,
that's right.
Not that far away.
Nope.
All right. And with that, we'll put a wrap on the show. Simmer, have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, you as well, brother. Cheers.
All right. All right.